Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? It is episode 53, and today is June 14th, 2017, for all you audiophiles who want to keep track of what the heck we are doing. Again, we are without Carrie this week, so I am taking over hosting duties, but I am, of course, joined by that lovable oaf, Kent. Kent, how are you doing this week?
Well, I just found out that June is Gay Pride Month, and, you know, I feel bad for the gay people.
Me too, especially with your curse.
Yeah, like, gay guys, everybody involved, get your shit together, get, like, a town hall meeting going on and pick a different month, okay? Because June just sucks for you guys, all right? Just saying.
Sucks for everybody. Man, we've had nothing but problems with everything we do, it seems, lately with June. It's even carried over to me, and I never even believed in this curse. So,
the curse is real, and it's real on all fronts. It affects everybody, basically, that I know. And if you could see my feet, you would see the curse. I'll send you a picture of my feet while we're doing this, so you can really attest to this.
Alright. Fair enough. Sounds exciting. Well, hold on one second. Now, we have a show to do. So I hope the picture comes to my phone, and I'll be very excited to hold off onto this and save it. But, again,
it's on its way.
All right. So what we're doing here is we talk about wrestling, the happenings of the week, whatever, you know, we feel was necessary to talk about. But this week we have something special going on. Again, I don't know how I did it, but Kent, I've booked Mr. Cleo again. He said he would be grateful to do the show with us.
Wow, so we got Mr. Cleo during Carrie's missing in action.
Yes, Carrie's absence. Now, of course, as always, I can't be talking with Mr. Cleo at the same time, so I'm going to have to leave you with him by yourself. But
it's always so uncomfortable with him by myself.
It's because he knows the future, and that's the problem. So
it's creepy.
He'll be in a little bit, but first, Kent and I are going to talk about what really tickled our fancy this week. So why don't we start this off with our big thing this week, Ken? I don't think this tickled either of our fancies, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Joe versus Brock. Let's hit that right off the bat, and let's go to it. What'd you think, Ken?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I wanted it to be a little bit longer, like 90 seconds longer.
It had to be like a minute longer, I swear, because it felt rushed.
I guess they didn't want to give it the exact Taker versus Brock feel, but you know what? Quite frankly, it's still really, there's nothing better going on right now in WWE. Nothing comes close to how cool this build-up is right now for me.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job with it. I really liked how Joe came right out. Wasn't even afraid, nothing. Didn't like hesitate at the stage or anything. Just went right out, did his thing, beelined Brock, and
oh, so he acted like a badass heel, unlike the big bad Braun.
Yes.
Like, this is the problem. Badass heels should be doing this stuff more often. Not backing down like cowards. Like, Joe did what we want guys to do when, you know, there's smart heels. There's, you know, the really creative cowardly heels, which I'm sure we're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Yes, we will.
But, you know, if you're going to be a big badass, then be a big badass. Remember, like, Kane? Kane would come out, he wasn't afraid of shit.
It's true.
Glory days, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he just, I think that's what kind of worked for this. Joe did what he was wanted to do. He attacked Paul last week, and then Joe came out, and he attacked Brock. It was really, really well done. Again, I think the brawl needed a little bit. Because you know what I mean? Like, they brawled for a few seconds, then security came out. Security was useless. And instead of waiting a few seconds, it's just like, nope, get the guys. Like, they'd be all prepared to go out like that.
Why was Joe's kick, of all things, like, supposed to be like this devastating thing? He doesn't do a big kick in his matches, so I was a little confused by that.
I don't know.
I liked it.
I don't know if that was meant to be, because it looked like he really hit Brock pretty hard with that. Maybe it was a stiff shot.
I think he did connect a little. Actually, I can imagine right now Brock is loving this feud, quite frankly. I imagine this is something that Brock actually really enjoys.
Maybe, because he looked furious, like really furious after the kick. And either that he's really a great actor, or he told Joe to go stiff, I don't know, because...
Here's a question, though. Is Joe, namely, going to get punished for the shit ratings of the past 2 weeks, or is this a brand-wide thing? I fear Joe getting punished.
Why would Joe be punished? That makes no sense. So, yes, he's definitely going to get blamed for all of this.
Right, that's the fucking fear right now is... I mean, granted, next, they don't have to go against the finals anymore. The NBA finals are done, playoffs are good. So, hopefully next week... I guess I would have waited another week to pop the ratings when they're not against the finals. Wouldn't that made more sense?
I think they want to try to pop the ratings this week. Because wouldn't you blame Brock? Because everyone knew Brock was going to be on this week. So wouldn't it be Brock's fault if the ratings sucked this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to blame any one particular person.
Oh, God,
but
no.
From WWE's eyes, yeah, I could see them saying Brock's not a draw anymore. You know, their line of thinking for whatever reason.
Right. Which it's not. It's just... I can tell you exactly what their problem is. They're not exciting enough sometimes, and some of the stuff they do is really stupid.
And even when they have a good week, this was a good week. Unfortunately,
overall,
nobody saw it.
It went downhill. It was good at the beginning. Downhill.
The first 2 hours were good, I thought.
Up until about that Ms. Bear thing. That's where it kind of... That's when things started to dip.
Did you find it a little unbearable?
Yes, I did. In fact, it was the bear necessities they did not skip. They should have.
So you didn't set up a mental barricade for it?
No. No, it was awful. And I
Bears.
They said so many bear puns, it wasn't even funny. Some of
like
them were.
How, somebody had to have written all that shit out beforehand.
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm trying to do it off cuff right now, and I can't think of anything. It's really...
Yeah, when you're trying, it's bad. It really is. <Yeah. laughs> That's your cross to bear, Russ.
Yes, it did. So, we thought it was good. Both of us, it was the highlight of the week, clearly.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I don't know the last time I was this excited for a match that I know is going to disappoint me.
Well, that's because I was just about to ask you that. So, do you think this... All this build-up is doing a really good job to kind of get us interested in watching the match... Will this be a disappointing match? And we're all like, this is what we... Because we know what's going to happen. Brock's winning. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. But are we more excited? Because I want to know where it's going to leave Joe. Does it leave him in a better spot?
It should leave him in a better spot. They cannot do the first Brock Goldberg thing again. They can't do a quick victory. As a matter of fact, they would be really smart... to have either interference or disqualification of some form and keep this feud on the back burner. Even if you don't want to do it at SummerSlam, that's fine. But have it so Joe can cut promo and say that he never lost to Brock and milk another match out of this.
They could.
I think that'd be really smart.
Yeah, they could. You know, maybe not SummerSlam, but Survivor Series, Royal Rumble.
Or Hell in a Cell, even.
Yep. They got lots of options.
And Joe... can carry, I mean, I hate to say carry Brock, because Brock is more than capable of doing a 10-minute match, but Joe's going to be able to carry him for what Brock is lacking, perhaps.
Right. Overall, great build-up. I know they're going to screw this up, though. They haven't done this right in a long time, so...
Yeah, I'm really worried. You should come over for Great Balls of Fire, so we can be disappointed together.
I will let you know. When is Great Ball of Fire, anyway? Or Great Balls of Fire.
It's like 3 weeks after Money in the Bank, I believe. So, like, they're not doing every other week.
Thank God. So, it's mid-July. So, it's going to be, like, mid-July.
I believe so, yeah.
Right. Well, this is SmackDown's last pay-per-view before SummerSlam, isn't it?
Hell no. They still got probably, like, Battleground or something.
Oh, God, hope not.
They got to have a July pay-per-view. There's got to be a July pay-per-view.
No, they didn't have a May pay-per-view.
Trust me, there's going to be a July pay-per-view.
It's called Great Balls of Fire.
I will look it up. Did you see my foot yet?
No. Oh, no. Let me look. Sorry.
Look at my fucking foot. Tell me this month is not fucking cursed.
Oh, come on. It looks like a Black Widow bite. Spider-Man.
Yeah. went fishing with Biddy, Brian, Tom, and his woman, and my legs look awful, my hands look awful, but that was like the best picture I had to offer.
Wow.
Yeah, good times.
I know, I didn't respond to any of that, and I feel bad. I was supposed to respond. I didn't, because I didn't.
No, you don't. Don't lie to me and tell me that you feel bad. You can lie to somebody else that don't know you better, but God damn it, I know damn well you don't feel bad about
it. All right, I don't feel bad, but I just, I couldn't do anything, and I was just like, meh, I don't feel like responding, so.
I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even text a message saying, nope, can't do it.
I told you, I felt bad. I just didn't do it. I don't know why. It's really weird. Like, I don't always like to respond to texts, mass texts. I don't know why it's weird.
I don't like mass texts myself either. And, you know, it's funny, and we're going off tangent. I don't give a fuck right now. I think it was Sunday, I get a message from Eric, like in the ESO group with Twan and Mikey. Yep. And because Jim always fucks it up and like never comes on Wednesday nights to game with us, and it's always like some ridiculous excuse. It's always hilarious to me. So I'm like, no guys, I can't be on tonight. I'm going down to the ghetto and eating some fried chicken. The thing was, I did go to Schenectady and I got some Popeyes.
Well, there,
like,
you go. See?
I wasn't lying, but I don't think Eric believed me initially. That's my guess, at least.
Oh man, Eric. So back to wrestling. That was a good story, by the way.
Oh, wrestling?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, wrestling. But this is a good time to move on to our next topic. Let's talk about what tickled your fancy this week, because I think Joe and Brock tickled both our fancies. So now let's talk about what tickled your fancy.
Well, I am so glad that you asked that. Let's talk about the fact that Roman Reigns and Finn Balor were not live at wrestling this week. They cut a promo for each guy that was probably a little too lengthy and girthy for my taste, but we didn't have to deal with a match or some bullshit promo. As a matter of fact, now we know that Roman's going to be cutting a promo about his opponent for SummerSlam.
Yep.
Which left me wondering, wouldn't it be funny if like they advertised the same thing for Finn and they both just get in the ring and be like, we choose you?
Yeah.
Like that'd be funny.
Or if they did it this way, they go, they both have a big announcement, they both go out, and then Finn goes out, like, Roman goes out, and then Finn goes out almost immediately after, goes, this was my time, no, it was my time, no, it's my time to do my announcement, no, it's my time. Well, I was
Could John Cena's music hit right now and say my time is now?
And then they basically both go, I was going to choose you, and that's how, yeah, stupid, but funny.
Yeah, if they both point the finger at the same time.
Yeah.
I didn't miss either guy in the sense that I thought that this week we didn't need it. We don't need performers every week.
Right.
They need time off. We know this. This was a perfect time to give them a time off. In Roman's case, who do you think he's choosing?
Good question. So I was trying to figure this out because, like, who would he be choosing? The only thing I can think of is they're leading us up to Roman going, I want Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, and that's when Braun comes back.
I can see that.
So that's what I'm thinking. That's what and it's going to end up being, I don't know, something that sets up for maybe even Great Balls of Fire number one contendership, and then Braun wins.
Do you think there's any potential of this coming into the same storyline as John Cena being a free agent?
Yeah, I was curious. Why did they all of a sudden go John Cena the free agent?
Because SmackDown don't need Cena. I mean, I hate to say it, like, they could use Cena, but they don't have enough. Their heels are lacking. Really, do you want to see Cena versus Jinder? Hell no. Only matchup that intrigues me on SmackDown is actually Cena versus Corbin, Cena versus Shinsuke.
Cena versus AJ. Cena versus Owens.
Yeah, Cena versus Owens I'd watch the hell of.
Yep.
Cena versus Sammy I'd watch, but it's mostly Cena versus faces.
Right.
Whereas Raw's the land of giants all of a sudden.
Yep.
I think Cena's just going there.
It's possible. Which is fine. I think SmackDown's doing okay. They're not doing great. But to me, going back to no Finn and no Roman, I think, honestly, it's good to have breaks from the big guys. This felt like a mid-card building episode, didn't it?
It felt very old school and refreshing to my senses, personally.
Yeah, I mean, there was some bad stuff. Don't get me wrong. We'll hit up on some of that in a few seconds. But...
The thing was, is that... What were they going to do? They've been dicking around with the five main guys. Now Samoa Joe's moved on. So you're left with Seth, Bray, Finn, and Roman. And you're left with, like, no heels.
Yeah.
So... It only makes sense. The question is, you got Miz and you got Elias. Dean can only be tangling with one or the other.
So you think one of them's going to get involved with...
I think it would make the most sense to involve one of them with Roman or Finn and then Braun with the other guy. Hmm. Which Braun versus Roman makes more sense, so Finn versus Miz, I guess?
See, I don't know. They're making it seem like Great Balls of Fire is going to be a rematch for Dean at this point, doesn't it?
It feels that way, and I don't understand, because Elias is still kind of, like, involved, but not involved. I don't know. Is he, like, the side girlfriend here at this point?
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird what they're doing with that. But it was back to what we're talking about. It was a mid-card building episode. Like, Elias got built up. Titus Brand got built up. Titus Brandt, what the hell are they doing with that?
They killed that on 205.
They did.
I know you haven't watched it yet, right?
They killed the gimmick or killed it like it was awesome.
It was awesome. They're building up this whole Titus with Akira thing. They're onto something. They just have to deliver, and that's what worries all wrestling fans all the time is can WWE deliver?
They never deliver.
They have lightning in a bottle right now.
Yeah.
Titus selling Akira by singing It's Raining Yen was so fucking funny to me on so many levels.
And this was on Talking Smack. This was on 205?
This was on 205. It starts right off with that, and it also ends with that, so you get it twice.
Awesome. I haven't watched it this week, so I will definitely watch it this week.
It was the first 205 I've watched in probably two months, and I am so happy I picked this week to do it.
Yeah, okay. I'll get on this week, because Yeah, it's been a while since I watched 205, too, so I'll get on it.
Yeah, it felt fresh because they did... Tony Nese was on.
Yep.
Tony Nese had a good...
I saw a picture of him talking to somebody. I can't remember who. Oh, Gallagher.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was cool. I don't know. Everything worked well. And I want to also point out random tangent again. I have PS View.
Yep.
That's what I use for watching my TV shows. For Raw, the picture for it is a picture of John Cena. For SmackDown, the picture is of Edge. PSVU didn't exist back when Cena was the face of Raw and Edge was the face of SmackDown 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a tad weird and dated, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, very. Especially when Edge hasn't been around in years.
Right. Edge hasn't been around since like 2011, 2012.
Yeah. Wow. Holy cow. Even late?
Yeah.
That's about right. No, that's about right. 5 years. Yeah, holy cow.
Yeah. So, I don't know how something so new... I mean, PSVU's only been around for a year, we'll say.
Yeah, two. Let's be generous, two.
Ed should never have been involved in this.
Right. Oh, PSVU.
Very confusing.
So, I like how what we're doing, we're going off on, we're talking about something, we go off on a tangent, and it's a perfect segue to our next segment.
Damn right.
Let's talk about what tickled my fancy. So, actually, you know what? Scratch my fancy. Let's keep a 205. Austin Aries. Let's go with this. I don't know much about this, so why don't you give us your take on what's going on with Austin Aries here. I saw the tweet things. I didn't watch anything on 205 Live, so what's going on with Austin Aries here?
The story is, and I don't know if it's strictly story or if there's part real life involved, he's saying that he's got some neck issues and some leg issues, which is entirely possible. It's entirely possible because the dude's been dealing with injuries for about a year now, or maybe they've realized that they dug themselves in such a horrible hole with the Neville feud that they need a reset and maybe take Austin out for a month or two. I don't know. But what I do know is that prior to WrestleMania, like beginning of the year, I kept suggesting that Aries should stay commentating.
Commentary, yeah.
And Then he came back and he looked really good, and I was like questioning myself. And now in hindsight, no. There's nothing, I don't really see anything that Austin's going to do that's going to add to an already stacked division. They just need to keep getting more airtime. That's the thing. And they need more airtime.
Being more cruiserweight too, but
yeah, Aries isn't going to help or hurt. It's Aries is the most helpful on commentary.
Yeah,
he made that feel bigger.
He did. He was really good on commentary. I agree.
It's just, I don't know. Do you really think that the benefit of him wrestling outweighs the benefit of him putting more guys over on commentary? Like he's the voice of 205 when he's the voice.
True. Good question. I think if they let him be him, like this last run was not him. He was good in the ring, but he wasn't Austin Aries. So,
yeah. I mean, there's a handful of transcendent talents, right? Like, you wouldn't ever sit there and say, you know what, I would have much rather had Stone Cold Steve Austin calling commentary during the Attitude Era.
Right.
No, you needed him in ring.
Yep.
The Rock, on the other hand, you could make an argument that he would have been just as valuable on commentary as he would have been in ring. You could make that argument because he's so freaking good on the mic.
Yeah.
Aries is so good at both things. It's tough.
Yeah, it's true. But, like, the thing that ruined this run for me, we'll call it a run, even though it was only, what, three months? Not even.
It was a jog.
Yeah, okay, so we'll call it a jog. It was just that he kept on losing in the big spot, and they shouldn't have done this. 4 months in a row, or no, three months in a row, four pay-per-views of the same
match.
Would
you have had, like, interference or anything? Like, how would you have remedied that?
Okay. How would I have remedied it? Well, first of all, the first loss would have been should have been interference. No. First loss should have been cheating. I'm fine with the first loss being cheating. Rake of the eye, right? That's what it was back in WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that worked really well.
Yes, that was good. So I'm okay with that. The second loss should have been interference. That should have been the interference. And this is where they fell apart.
Maybe like TJP or something?
Yep. Easily get him off of the feud with Neville for a couple of months to get him off the feud with Neville, or even keep it another month but have TJP keep on interfering or whatever, and then finally get him off the feud. They didn't. It just kept on being Neville won. Yes, he won by cheating half the time, or if all the times, I think. But it doesn't matter because it ruined Austin Aries. Because I was done. I was like, if he didn't win this...
Well, he didn't cheat in the last match.
He didn't? I thought he did.
There was no such thing as cheating in that. The ref cheated us.
Oh, right.
But...
The ref cheated us. Right.
Ref... I mean, hell, Neville hit that great red arrow from the top onto Aries' back.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
That was a really sweet... That was probably the best spot of the night.
Yeah, and turning it right into a Rings of Saturn. That was good.
Absolutely.
So...
Like, if you bring Aries, if they decide to bring Aries back, no, and he didn't say he was going back to commentary, he just needed time off.
Yeah.
If you bring Aries back, do you keep him as a face?
No. No, he needs to go back to being a heel. He's bland then as a face.
What do you do, though? Because Neville's great as a heel. TJP... TJP really shouldn't be a heel, but he's doing well as a heel.
Yes.
He can't switch back this quickly.
Right.
You're kind of back to either Jack Gallagher or Tozawa, obviously, is going to get something.
Yep.
Kendrick's going to stay heel. He's got to stay heel. He's best as a heel.
Yep.
You're going... Is this like a time to make Rich Swann and Cedric matter more? Their lives do matter.
They do. They definitely do. Yes. I don't like what they did with Cedric Alexander this week on Raw, but I guess they had to reintroduce him a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that they reintroduced Arya Daivari a little bit, and the guy who only does flippy shit, Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like him, but yeah, they're trying to bring him back, and they're doing a cool thing with Drew Gulak. on 205.
Okay, I'll check that
out. I think you'll laugh about.
Yeah, I mean, Noam Dar has been really good in his position.
Noam Dar has been just as much a face of the cruise of the 205 as Neville has, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Noam Dar gets tons of spots on Raw. He's almost on weekly, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And he's really good. Like, he's talented. Neville's talented. There's so much talent in the Cruiserweight. It's not even funny. I think the answer is simple, Kent. Get a second belt.
Get a second belt. Make it the TV title. Yeah. I think the TV title... I was barking up the tag team tree, but I think the TV belt, defend it every week. I think that works on all levels.
Yes, and it works nicely. And you can even have the match be on Raw every week, so it gets people excited about 205. So
yeah, I think that's exactly what it should be. It should be for the Raw TV title.
Yeah.
Should be, you know, you could call it the Raw TV title exclusively for 205.
Right.
That works.
I know why they're not doing it, or at least it makes sense not to do it, because they're afraid, because the ratings have been terrible for 205. Not 205's fault, but I don't know. I don't know how to remedy that part of it. But I think if they get more cruiserweight action on Raw, that's not the same old Raw stuff, just cruiserweight, you're going to get people to go watch it. It'll be more interesting.
Do as WCW did. They had the cruiserweights on as a change of pace from everything else that was happening, and that's why cruiserweights took off.
Right, not this Raw light cruiserweight stuff. That's the problem they're having. All right, let's talk about what tickles my fancy. You brought this up a little bit earlier, talking about smart heels, and I want to talk about The Miz and what they're doing with The Miz. So, as we know, the heel is usually turned into a moron as soon as they get the belt. It almost always happens. Like, and I don't understand that. Why do the heels turn into morons the second they get the belt? Right? Does that make sense?
To go from crafty, underhanded guy trying to do everything in his power to get one up on the champion to oh my god, I can't believe this is happening.
Right. It's so mind-boggling. So when The Miz got his belt, I was kind of expecting it to happen. But the first week, and I know you didn't like it that much, I kind of dug it. The first week, they tried to play off that he was being too crafty. And it backfired in his face. And I thought that worked really well for the type of heel he is. He's so smart, he's screwing himself up. But then they did this week. And this week was just asinine. So, The Miz had to find a tag team partner so he could fight against... I don't even know who he fought against. It was...
Oh my god, I don't know. Dean and somebody?
No, it wasn't Dean and somebody, because Dean was his partner. It was a tag team.
Dean wasn't... Well, Dean was partially his partner,
Ginger Rhino. Oh my god.
Oh, God, yeah, well, way to go, Rob, making me forget, like, one of my favorite tag teams.
Right. So Ginger Rhino, so they're going up, he's going up against Ginger Rhino, he needs to find a partner. And what do? They have the Miz Bear come down. Okay, this is where I draw the line of stupidity. First of all, we all know what we're supposed to think. Oh, that's Dean. And, okay, fine, but if you're trying to be an up-and-comer and be his partner, why would you come down in the Miz Bear suit? Isn't that just stupid?
Is there a porn site called Up and Comer?
Maybe.
There should be.
There should be. If not, you should get on.
Keep going.
So the he comes down in the Miz Bear, which is stupid, and then the fact that Dean even lets him participate was stupid. So they made this, and again, they're trying to make it, oh, he's too crafty, but they didn't. This time it backfired. This time the Miz looked like a pure moron this whole time. And now they're also starting this angle of Maurice and him are starting to have problems. Uh-oh, they're not on the same page. Which, they're not Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox, but...
Thank you for saying that.
I know, I'll cover my own page stuff. Just like Brad Maddox and Xavier Woods did.
Upandcomer.com!
Yeah, we're already selling this thing. So... they're already starting to make this look like, uh-oh, the Miz and Maryse are going to have problems, so the Miz won't have Maryse on his sides. Of course, you know what's going to happen. Maryse will be like, turn it around and attack Dean and be like, oh, we got you, Dean. Stupid. So stupid. I hate you for what you're doing to the Miz, WWE. What do you think?
I honestly just felt it was a continuation of the stupidity that was last week. That's where you and I differ. Now, WWE missed the greatest of great opportunities. They had a bear, and they had a rhino. Why did they not do some kind of play on animal versus animal and do, like, this whole, like, graphic of, like, what rhino strengths are and what bear strengths are? They could have done so much fun stuff with this.
Instead, we got the
puns. Just bear puns. And I just wanted to eat some member berries and remember the good times of The Miz, not this garbage. And for that matter, for Dean. God damn it, this... I need Dean to turn in the worst way. Does anybody need a turn more than Dean Ambrose?
Dean needs to go heel in the worst way. Man, do you remember when The Miz was cracking down on John Cena and just doing it so well? And we didn't even want to see that match at WrestleMania. Do you remember that?
They built that up to the point where I was like, holy shit, this was like one of the best feuds heading into Mania.
Yeah.
And oh my god, it's just so bad how the writing teams differ. It blows my fucking mind. I want this feud done with. I need Miz to move on. I need Dean to move on. Man. We thought Miz going to Raw was going to be such a boon for Raw. It has not paid off because of their writing.
They need to give The Miz the power he had on SmackDown.
Do you think they're going to continue this whole Miz and Maryse bullshit? Like, no. Are they really that dumb?
No, I honestly think that they're going to make it it was a trick by The Miz and Maryse all along.
I hope so.
That's got to be the only answer, because if they continue up the breaking up start of stuff of it, it's so stupid. So stupid. So.
I also think, like, they don't do Raw talk after every Raw, do they?
I don't think so. They don't advertise.
Maybe
it.
They really need to do that? Like, and get Miz on there and have Miz, like, it'd be tired and cliched, but maybe Miz should get pissed off at Kurt Angle for allowing all of this. Mm. Do something. Like, Miz and Daniel Bryan have a chemistry that he's not going to have with Kurt.
No.
But simultaneously, Kurt has the capability of having chemistry with this just about anybody.
Right.
I don't know. This is really what's happening to the Intercontinental Championship right now. This is what we've devolved to.
And it's the number one belt on Raw. And it's not good. They need to get away from this stupid feud and start letting The Miz have proper feuds. With real up-and-comers and .com.
.com.
And some old talent that hasn't seen the belt in a long time. But they're just... Dean versus The Miz needs to end. For a long time.
I think a proper Finn chasing Miz storyline could work well for both guys. Because Finn needs somebody who can work a mic.
True.
I say give it a shot. It can't hurt any.
No, absolutely not. And it would be a great feud. Both guys are great workers.
I mean, as long as Finn can stay healthy, which Miz ain't going
to
hurt him.
No, I was to say, Miz doesn't hurt people, so I think we're good.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, speaking of good, Kent, it's almost time for me to bring in Mr. Cleo. So, but before I do that, I want to sponsor your segment with Mr. Cleo. And I'm going to sponsor it the only way I know how, Kent, with my man crush of the week.
.com.
So this week's man crush, Kent, you kind of brought me into it. Because originally I wasn't sure who to go with. I was thinking Fandango, but I can't remember if I actually chose him or not already once. Because of his abs. But then you brought up the greatest thing ever. Johnny Abs is engaged. So my man crush of the week is Johnny Abs because he's breaking my heart. He's being engaged. She's a lucky girl. Now, if you don't know who Johnny Abs is, it's actually John Morrison from the WWE days. he had, and still does have, I'm going to say, the most phenomenal six-pack you have ever seen. It got to a point where Ket and I were jokingly, I think he's actually the originator of Man Crush. Because Ket and I would joke, I put jokes and joke in parentheses on that one, that he was, look how sexy he was, and my God, look at that six-pack. He's the originator of the Man Crush of the Week, and I don't think I've ever given it to him, so the originator is getting Man Crush of the Week. Those abs, I don't know. I would do a lot of things for those abs.
I mean, he's pretty much the second coming of Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
Except he couldn't cut a promo that good.
Not even close.
But physically, it was there. He had the luscious hair and the abs.
And the abs. Ugh. I wish.
If only he could have cut a promo. He really could have been Ravishing Rick Rude part two.
He would have been Ravishing. I think he would have been better. I honestly think he could have been the next big thing. But, yeah, his promo skills
He could have been. And the thing is, right now, if he was in WWE, I think when he was in, they weren't looking for that type of wrestler.
Right.
Now that type of wrestler is dominating.
Yep. They need he would be a good fit in WWE right now. But he's doing Lucha Underground, and he's having fun. And I think Lucha Underground's a better product right now anyway, so.
There's a lot to be said for actually having fun at your job. Yeah. Now, speaking of jobs, where the hell's Melina? Like, I thought Melina was with Johnny Abs.
Yeah.
You being that Johnny Abs fan, Russ, I'm kind of hoping that you have an answer for this.
I actually don't. I don't know what happened, because I thought they were together at least... I would say they haven't been together for at least over 2 years now, Kent, because the lady he's engaged to right now is his wrestling partner he's had at Lucha Underground. And she's not ugly, but she's no Melina.
No, Melina was fucking gorgeous. And this other girl, like you said, she's not ugly. She's, you know, there's Natalia and then there's Miss Bliss.
Yes.
Natalia's not ugly, but Bliss is Bliss.
Yes.
And you can't teach that.
You certainly can't teach that. That's a lot of Bliss for some guy. I mean, how happy he would be that she would make him, I mean.
Yeah. I hope she makes me happy later tonight.
She probably will.
Probably.
All right. Let's get Mr. Cleo. So, what I'm going to do is, Kent, I'm going to get Mr. Cleo.
And while you're doing that, I can do a news story, or actually, I'll do my rant while we're waiting for Mr. Cleo.
You should rant, Kent. I think that's what's needed. So, I'm going to get Mr. Cleo, guys. And Ket is going to talk to you about what really grinds his gears.
So this week, I'll tell you what really grinds my fucking gears. There's a report going around, and it states the most fucking obvious thing, that Triple H is getting a little pissed off with Vince, and how Triple H does a masterful job in building up NXT stars, only for them to come up to the main roster, and by and large get treated like shit. Like, they're not pushed in the same way. Not even like 50% of the caliber. Like, it's just really poor how they build these. Like, they need to get them on the right foot. And Ty Dillinger is a huge, huge example I'll use. We haven't seen him in like 3 weeks. And what the fuck? SmackDown doesn't even have a mid-card. Why isn't Ty Dillinger on screen right now? Like, why isn't Ty Dillinger in Money in the Bank as, like, the quote-unquote underdog? I get that Sami Zayn is, but Sami's funny. Ty doesn't have anything. I don't know what sakes. I don't wish ill of Vince McMahon, but the change in the guard cannot come soon enough, because I feel that we're in good hands once Triple H does take over, if, in fact, he does take over. I mean, we don't know for a fact that Triple H is going to be head of booking once Vince, you know, passes. Or if, you know, he may just pass the torch before he dies. Who knows? All I'm saying is that we don't know. Stephanie might be the one. Shane may be involved. We don't know. But right now, Vince used to be open to many more ideas. Somebody needs to get into his ear and say, Triple H is killing it down in NXT. Let him at least help guide the people that you call up. That's all. That's all I'm asked for, is let Triple H help guide the people that are called up. So that's what really grinds my gears. And
Good lord. Hi, Mr. Cleo. How have you been?
Oh, Kent, it's been a wonderful time, man. It's been such a long time since we've seen each other. How are you, man?
God, we haven't seen each other since last year, right?
Oh, no, it's been sooner than that. Wasn't it in February?
Oh, God, it seemed like so... it's great to see you again.
Absolutely, Mon. It's so good to see you, too. Now, I've got a lot of predictions that I want to talk about. In fact, I'm pretty sure I know what you want to talk about. You want to talk about comebacks, don't you?
Well, as you have come back to the show, yes, I would like to talk about some people coming back from injury.
Again, Mr. Cleo.
I hate my life.
As you should,
Mon.
All right, Kent. Go ahead.
All right. So, as you all may not know, Mr. Cleo can tell the future with his future predicting abilities.
I have a keen insight, and I can see the future.
So, what I would like to do is I'd like to ask Mr. Cleo what he sees for the futures of 8 or 9 particular wrestlers. So, I'll start off with an easy one. Braun Strowman, he is medically cleared. When will he come back, and what will he be doing?
Ah, Kent, I'm glad you asked that question, because I see a red brand coming very soon, in fact. Perhaps this week, we may even see Braun.
Is he going to be branded?
No, I was talking about Raw. Raw.
Not
him. I don't want to brand him. But wait! I'm not finished with you yet.
Dun dun.
I see Braun going after someone he's been going after quite a bit. In a week. Someone's big announcement. That's what I see. Mon.
Alright, so we know that Roman Reigns has a big announcement to make next week, so I'm starting to put the puzzle pieces together, and it seems reasonable that Braun may not be finished with Roman Reigns. So, hey, maybe we'll get some more vehicle tippings or stretcher
guys. That was amazing, wasn't it? It really was. I'm not a big wrestling fan, man, but that was awesome. I loved it.
All right. Well, next up is a person who just returned this week. Emma.
Yes.
Where do you see her? Who do you see her feuding with? And do you see a title run this year? Those are the two questions on my mind.
Well, there may have been a time when she was going to get that title run. But with Miss Bliss as the champion, she's not even hunting for it. She is the champion. I don't see it happening for her this year. Unfortunately, Emma is... I see bad things for Emma. I see her going away for another 8 to 9 weeks. I don't know when, though.
Is Emma going to be the Al Snow of the women's division where she just jobs all the time?
Unfortunately, that seems like what the way they're going with it. But I will say this. She has a chance to be impressive. And if she can be impressive, that may change her future.
Plus, you know, women's division is very hit and miss. So it'd be interesting.
Now, who do you want her to feud with?
I think the logical thing was they were going with her and Dana. I liked that whole storyline. It gave Dana a purpose. Realistically, I think she could make some magic with Mickey or Sasha. So I guess any of those three would work, and I really would like to see Emma and Bliss down the road. Right now, heel versus heel doesn't make sense, and Bliss needs to take on Nia before that can ever happen. But sometime next year, Bliss versus Emma really should happen. For right now, I'll say Mickey James versus Emma would be sweet.
Mickey James versus Emma would be really good. I feel that it would really reinvigorate Sasha to get a match with Emma. Sasha is fantastic when she has someone to go against who can match her bitchiness, I feel. And I think that
I agree with that.
I feel that that would really bring Sasha back into a upper tier that she used to be.
I have a follow-up question regarding Emma. Do you foresee some point down the line Emma possibly leading a stable with the Aussie girls, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, down at NXT? Or will they keep the Aussies away from her?
Oh, man. That would be something amazing, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, I don't see those girls being still an Australian brand.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing that one split up.
Speaking of NXT, do you see Asuka coming up at all this year, or is she NXT bound for the rest of the year?
I honestly think she'll be NXT bound until at least next WrestleMania. Why have her lose the belt at this point?
All right, interesting. I guess then, does that open up a door for possibly Ember Moon to get called up, or are we keeping her down in NXT? What do you see in your crystal ball?
I see a full moon rising. On a...
I will put my pants back up.
Blue... Yes, thank you. On the blue brand.
The blue brand. Where the Ember color and the red of her entrance would definitely fit in much better on the blue brand.
You know, you're right. Did I say blue brand? I meant red brand. She would make much... Actually, she would be so much better on SmackDown. But I think now, you're right, they are probably going to screw this all up and put it on Raw.
Hey, at one point they put all red, everything red on the blue brand, so it wouldn't surprise me if they did it again, and we miss you, Eva Marie. Speaking of another female that's been MIA for a while, and as far as I know is still with the company, will we ever see Summer Rae on TV for WWE ever again?
It's a cold, cold day, sir. I don't think we're in the summertime anymore. It feels very winterish in the WWE. And summer is not coming. Neither is Paige. Neither is Sasha. No one's coming. Yes, that's my prediction. She's never going to be on WWE again. You are, sir, I can't understand a word you're saying.
Will upandcomers.com ever be an official website?
If you make it, sir, I think it'll be a huge hit.
Back to wrestling. Next up, let's go from Emma to her boyfriend, Woo Woo Woo, Zack Ryder.
Yes.
Do you think that... I don't know, I almost felt a little bit of weird tension between Mojo and Zack. Like, Mojo almost seemed a little disappointed to see him at first, but now, like, they seem buddy-buddy. It was interesting, even on Talking Smack, JBL's like, wouldn't you guys be better off pursuing your singles career since you guys both done so well? And they both sounded committed to the tag team, but the SmackDown tag team scene's pretty loaded. Where do you see this going? Is there a breakup on the horizon?
I see that Zack will not be cheered much in the near future.
Say it ain't so, yes, bro.
He'll be riding a wave of booze. Not the alcohol, but boo urns.
So he's not Vince McMahon swimming in a puddle of booze.
No. Sorry, I didn't say that one, yes. So that's what I think is going to happen with Zack.
Is Mojo also going to be swimming in that sea of booze?
No, Mojo is going to be the face. They're going to have a little bit of a feud going on.
Okay, so we're sensing a split up and not them remaining a tag team.
Correct.
Will they get their tag team championship match that they deserve?
No. They've totally dropped it.
Wow. Okay. Do you see Zack ever winning another singles championship before he retires?
Wow. This is a cloudy one. When I look into the future, it's very difficult to see this. On the one hand, there's a good possibility. I mean, I can't see why he doesn't deserve at least a U.S. title reign. I could see that clearly. But then, it is the WWE, and they don't care about Zach. So, this is a tough one to call. I'm going to say, unfortunately, not.
Okay. Wow. That is a bummer to all the Long Island Iced Zers out there.
I'm sorry, but I call it like it is, man. I do not want to disappoint, but I cannot help it.
The broskies are rioting right now. Yes. That's all I can say. Let's go and... Well, a person that returned last week, the ravishing Russian played by an American who's done topless poses. Look up Lana online, men. Let's talk about Lana. She seemed to be coming out to possibly a heel gimmick, but has been wildly cheered the past 2 weeks.
Aye, man.
Is she going to remain a face?
No. WWE is doing everything that they can to kind of make her a heel. No matter what, they're really aiming to make her a heel. And I think she's going to stay like that. I mean, think about what she did on SmackDown, man. She came down there and attacked a defenseless Naomi. That's pretty low for anybody.
Do you see any possibility of them doing the double turn where Naomi turns heel and starts snatching bitches bald? I mean, that's part of her gimmick now. It would work as a heel. I'm just saying.
She is too much of a straight babyface. Like, people really just enjoy her. I can't see them turning her heel. No. Not while... They're not doing a double turn.
Speaking of feeling the glow, I want to point out that on Netflix, when you finish the season of Orange is the New Black, there's a trailer for the new Glow. I think it's a TV show, but it could be a movie that Netflix is producing. And if anybody remembers Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling back in the 80s, keep an eye out for that.
Well,
I loved Glow. Did you ever watch Glow, Mr. Cleo?
Mr. Cleo never saw Glow.
Ah, that is a shame.
He's felt the glow, but he's never seen it.
Good for him. Is Lana going to put on a good match come Sunday?
Yes, like, I honestly...
A lot of the fans are wondering.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, Kent.
And what will she be wearing for ring attire? Will it be something that shows off her assets?
Absolutely. You can't have Lana go out there without showing off some of the assets. Mon.
Will Lana be a women's champion between now and the end of the year?
All points. Signs point to no. Although it does seem interesting that they're all of a sudden giving her a chance this year, doesn't it?
The timing is a tad interesting, to say the least.
Isn't someone else coming back that she knows?
Why, yes. And just one more plug. Everybody look up CJ Perry. P-E-R-R-Y. Nude. You will thank me. Anyways, yes.
Hold on. Mr. Cleo has to find this.
While Mr. Cleo's looking, I will ask the question that I saw today, that Rusev, her husband, has been medically cleared. So he wanted Randy Orton for the belt in June, and that's not quite happening. But will we see Rusev this Sunday at Money in the Bank?
I think all signs point to yes.
Mr. Cleo is currently looking up CJ Perry nude.
All signs point to definite yes.
I think we should see Rusev this Sunday. But my question, more importantly, is if and when we do see Rusev, is he going to be a face or a heel?
Well, he'll definitely be a heel. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm feeling the glow again, sir. I'm at Mon. I'm feeling the glow.
Oh. Are you feeling the glow because you looked up the pictures? Or
because I looked up the pictures. But I'm also feeling that Rusev will be still match-guying the good guys.
Okay, that's cool. They could use another heel.
Absolutely.
All for it. Looking, these are fine pictures that I've already seen.
Yep.
But will Rusev finally find some singles success on the land of in the land of opportunity?
Yes, I do think we may see Rusev finally getting across that barrier of when he gets the championship, he's the foreign heel. I think we're finally going to see the difference where he's just going to be a brute. I think this is it.
So you don't think Rusev is going to be a comedic face because WWE tends to like do that garbage? You don't think they see that?
No, I think we're coming back with a monster.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Now you said that
say that he'd get a belt this year? I don't think it's going to happen this year. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Could. If you're talking, Kent, I can only hear you in my head.
Well, you said you were seeing things.
Yes.
And my next person I want to ask you about, well, I'm not sure if you can see him. John Cena is due back July the 4th, and they're running a storyline where he's a free agent. So first question is he going to remain on SmackDown or not?
Well, Kent, though most normal humans cannot see him on, I have the clear eye to clearly see where he's going, and I see it to the Raw brand. Not right away, but by September.
Wow, September, okay. And who do you think he'll feud with initially?
Good question, Mon. It would be interesting to see him and someone who will not be finished with him.
Oh. Now, I see, in my opinion, I would guess that if Cena went to Raw, wouldn't the first choice, logical choice, be to finish up business with The Miz? Because that was his last opponent?
As it would be, but that's logical, Kent. And now what a company are we talking about, Mon?
My bad.
Yeah.
Now, with Cena being a free agent, if he does go to Raw, does Nikki Bella still have to stay on SmackDown, or is she part of the package?
Nikki Bella is always part of John Cena's package.
Go on.
Yes. I think she'll be on Raw if she ever returns. I'm not sure.
That would be a shame if she ever never returned, because she is so good and valuable as a commodity.
Yes, I totally agree with that statement that she is fantastic, Mon. She is well wrestled and an asset.
Mr. Cleo, speaking of Nikki Bella, will there ever be a nude leak of her in the future? The fans want me to ask that.
Well, the fans are going to be disappointed, because as long as she's with John Cena, that shit ain't happening.
Is that like rule number 17 or something? Yeah. No leaked nudes?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the rules.
Damn. All right. Well, moving back over to Raw, the greatest tag team ever, The Revival, has a clean bill of health now that Dash Wilder is cleared. We keep seeing them backstage when Enzo and or Cass are involved. Where is all this leading to with The Revival? Are they involved in this Enzo and Cass thing or not?
That's a tough one. I want to say yes, because that would be a great way to get them back into the mix without having to worry about where we put them. Unfortunately, Mon, I don't see that being the case. I think the breakup between Enzo and Cass will happen during a match with The Revival, though.
And is The Big Show involved in this in some capacity, or is this all a red herring?
Red herring, my friend. Red herring.
Red herring was great on A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Mon. I was about to say red herring was one of my favorite characters on Pup Named Scooby-Doo. That scares me that we were both thinking the same thing.
Will The Revival be tag team champions between now and the end of the year?
The end of the year is coming up so quick, Mon. You're only talking about to the end of this year, not Mania, right?
That is correct. Just till December 31st.
Yes, they will get it. They'll just squeak it in.
Huh.
Mr. Cleo okay. doesn't lie. He only tells the truth.
My God, there is one picture that is just breathtaking right now. Speaking of breathtaking women that may be scantily clad, the last person on my list that I need to know about, because they're on the verge of being officially medically cleared, and she's already currently working out in the exact way that we think she is, Paige. Is she going to ever come back on WWE TV?
That's an interesting question. I want to say yes, because she's a wildly popular fan favorite. Most people want to see her, man. I just think that I don't know if it'll be this year, man. It's tough. I mean, where would she go? Raw, SmackDown?
I would say SmackDown would make the most sense. Like, her and Charlotte, her and Becky.
I heard her and Xavier have great chemistry.
Hmm. So maybe she could be managing New Day.
Mm.
Power of positivity right there.
That's a lot of positivity. Going that way.
She will be overflowing with positivity.
Yes.
Oh, it'll be good, though. It'll be good. I'm also sending you the picture that I just saw that was breathtaking for me.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, I just saw that a few seconds ago. She is a very attractive woman.
Well, I hate to break this to you, Mr. Cleo, but I need to get Russ back here because we need to do a Money in the Bank ladder match preview. Just because you can see in the future, I need two more questions, and then you gotta get the fudge out.
I understand, Kent. Give me what you have to ask.
You're a psychic. Come on, you don't know what two questions I'm going to ask? The two predictions?
I think one of them is going to be about Money in the Bank.
Probably both of them will be, yes.
I knew it. So, I think on the men's side, we're going to see an emperor or a baron. Baron Corbin. He is going to be the Mr. Money in the Bank.
All right, bold. What about the women's side?
The women's is harder to see. Mainly because who cares? Honestly, this is
You're right. Like, as much as you want to care,
it's historic. It's first time. It's fantastic. But I could care less about any of these women winning this. So to give this one to, I'm going to say Carmella.
That seems reasonable. Also, Mr. Cleo, did you know that Shinsuke Nakamura and James Ellsworth went surfing together?
Really? Of course I knew
that.
You
need to watch Talking Smack.
Interesting.
I'm just saying that to the fans. Fans, watch Talking Smack to get the full story from Shinsuke's very English tongue.
So it wasn't very English.
It was trying at times, to say the very least, but it was fun. It was very fun because Shinsuke comes off like a cool and funny dude.
He is very charismatic. He doesn't even have to really talk. Very rare you get this, that someone who doesn't have to talk is charismatic and just like you want to be around this guy, and he has that aura.
Yeah, that's what he showcased on Talking Smack, so it was good. But with that being said, Mr. Cleo, I need you to get the fudge out of here, and if you see Russ on your way out, could you tell him that we need him back in so we can talk about Money in the Bank?
I will. Kent, it was such a pleasure. I hope we get to do this again before the year's over.
I'm sure we will.
See it clearly that we will. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
And, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Cleo. Yeah. While we're waiting for Russ, in carrying on Kerry's legacy, I will touch on a news story that she actually sent to me, and it involves Mr. Bray Wyatt. Apparently, his wife, Samantha Rotunda, has filed for divorce, and then she dropped the bombshell that Bray and ring announcer JoJo have been having an affair. After news of this broke, I believe it was on Monday, Bray and JoJo showed up at the arena together, which is fantastic. And I got a lot of things to say about this. First of all, JoJo has a great ass, so now Bray can have the whole ass in his hands. So good for him. Secondly, Samantha looks way too much like Mika Rotunda. Who's Mika? Mika is Bray and Bo Dallas's sister. Also, Mika and Samantha both look like Bo. I don't know. I think that's fucked up that Bray kind of married a chick that looks way too much like his sister and brother. Very weird. Like, I saw a family photo. Very weird. I don't know. Just don't marry somebody that looks like your sister or your brother. Come on, Bray. You're better than this. So he took my advice, and he's with a black chick. He went way away from all this. So good for you, Bray Wyatt. I'm on your side. You're probably going to lose a lot of money out of this, but you're still awesome to me. Oh! Russ, are you back?
I am back. In fact, I heard part of the news story there, and I wanted to check this out. I mean, Samantha's not ugly.
She's not ugly, but...
And they have kids, too? Oh, man, he's in trouble.
So much trouble.
Yeah, he is.
But let me send you a picture, and it's going to have Mika and Samantha in it. Tell me they do not look very similar.
All right, let me see. Oh, Mr. Cleo got a nice picture of Lana, I see.
No, that's CJ Perry.
Oh, CJ Perry, right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there's some similarities there.
There's a lot of fucking similarities. It's creepy.
It is. She's like a mix of Mika and Bo.
Right, like, come on, don't you think? Bray should have known better. That's all I'm saying. And he definitely got an upgrade with JoJo.
Yeah.
Definitely upgraded. So, good for him. That's the news for the week.
Oh, yeah. She is way hotter.
Huge upgrade. With that being said, we should probably get to our Money in the Bank predictions and then call it an evening, I would guess.
I agree. I think we should definitely do that. We're hitting... Actually, we're doing pretty good on time. Good for us.
Thank you, technical difficulties.
Yes. We're doing pretty good on time, though. All right, so let's do our Money in the Bank prediction, sir. Why don't you give us the list, and we'll hit it up.
So you're asking me for the list because you don't have a list in front of you.
Do I look like I'm prepared for anything, Kent?
Nope.
I mean, I can get the list if you want me to. As host, I should probably do that.
Honestly, I'm seeing all four matches. I must be missing a couple
of
matches.
There's got to be more than just four. Come on.
I see the two Money in the Bank. I see the tag team. And I see the championship match. What else has been advertised?
There's got to be something.
I don't know. I'm going to WWE.com because we're really prepared for this. I would think that Breeze Dango would be taking on the Colognes, but it was never announced.
It wasn't announced, but you want to just BS it and go for it?
Wait. We have...
There's five matches.
Oh, Naomi and Lana.
Yep. The two
Money... we're going to say that tag team match is going to happen too. So let's preview that tag team match that we just made up.
Okay. I'm going to go Fashion Files are winning this match. They need a win, a big win, after the whole, you know, them losing against the Usos in terrible fashion. When they struck lightning in a bottle.
You know, I'm surprised that Breeze Dango has kept as much of their heat as they have. Like, I'm impressed that SmackDown has booked them pretty well considering how they lost.
Yes.
I feel bad for the Colognes because I feel like they're so talented, but they're just lacking charisma.
I think
they're boring.
I think this past week, though, they really kind of stepped up a little bit. I honestly think that hold on, what do you call him? Breezango. Sorry, I always call him Fandango. Breezango has really kind of helped them out, and I think a good match with them, a good match, not a squash match. Give us a good match. It can be funny in the beginning, decent ending, or, you know, funny in the beginning, faces in peril in the middle, and then give us a great ending sequence. Both teams come out shining like gold.
Against the Shining Stars?
Yes. They're not the Shining Stars anymore. They're the Clones.
Would you keep up this whole Tyler Breeze changing outfits
God,
in
yes.
the match?
Or? God, yes. Keep it.
Really?
At least another, at least one more. It's pretty funny.
I'm a little worried that it's going to become a weekly gimmick, and I'd rather them stay away from it. Like, keep it in the Fashion Files if they want to, but I don't think it works too well in the match.
It's tough.
I don't know.
Match.
I'm a little worried.
It's tough in a match, yeah. One more time. After that, don't do it anymore. Stop going undercover.
So we both probably got Breezango winning that one.
Yes.
Honestly, I can't think of any other matches. I mean, they could always throw in like a Ty Dillinger match, but we haven't seen Ty Dillinger in a month.
Right.
Aiden English, same thing.
Yeah.
Mojo and Zach maybe could have a Hype Bros match against the Ascension or something like that.
I don't think that's happening. Not yet.
Well, all right. Well, let's go with what we do know
yes.
on the card.
I was going to say, do you want to make up a match? Go ahead. I mean, we can see if it comes up, but...
I gave you my piece. I mean, hell, American Alpha could be involved somehow, but we haven't heard from them in like 2 months.
What? NXT is not being done correct? Come on, Kat.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with the match that I am least looking forward to, and that would be Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton.
I was going to say, the only match that really, really sucks. Well, it won't.
That's the only match I don't care about. Yeah. Like, I actually want to see the other four matches.
Yeah, I do too.
So, what do you see happening here? Is Jinder going to keep the belt?
I think Jinder's keeping the belt. This has become a bigger news story than I think they expected. And now it wouldn't make any sense to take it off of him. I do believe, though, he's going to win by cheating. So either someone's going to interfere in the match that will give Randy his next opponent, or Jinder and the Singh brothers cheat. Either way, Randy can't have that belt back. Oh, God, Randy cannot have that belt back.
See, I think that the Singh brothers will interfere, and I think this will lead to their final match in July, some kind of steel cage structure or something of that nature where, you know, no interference can happen because guys can't climb over a steel cage. That's never been done before. It would be historic if it did.
It would be historic. First time, even.
See, I still like my theory that Randy's going to start racking up world title wins to catch up to Cena. Especially if Cena goes to Raw. I don't know if the Jinder experiment has been a success. It has been interesting. And I can't say it's a success or a failure until I see how he does with an opponent that's not boring the piss out of me.
Right, that's my problem. Randy is absolute garbage.
If we were to see Jinder, though, take on AJ Styles at SummerSlam, and it still wasn't living up to expectations, would you start hindering Jinder and take that belt off him?
Yep. If he doesn't, if his next opponent, and let's say it's AJ. Let's just say it's AJ. If his next opponent is AJ, if he doesn't, if that match isn't memorable at SummerSlam, you need to get that belt off of Jinder in September. Simple as that.
I would get the belt off him at SummerSlam, quite frankly, if it's not working.
But you got to give him the match.
Yeah, give him the match, but I'm still saying I would take the belt off him at SummerSlam if he's still not pulling his own weight.
It's true, it's tough.
And another thing to lend credence is, to my Randy Orton philosophy, is I could definitely see somebody winning Money in the Bank, cashing in as soon as Randy wins the belt, and then Randy losing it, giving him another title run, but having it not go anywhere.
That's true.
You could see that dicketry happening.
It's definitely true. But it depends on who wins Money in the Bank.
It would have to be Dolph or Baron in order for that to work.
Correct.
Which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
But right now we're both predicting Jinder retains via some kind of fuckery.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go on to the women's championship match, because we're doing things in reverse order, apparently.
Yep.
Naomi versus Lana. What do you make of this, and how long do you think this match goes?
No more than 5 minutes. Naomi, I cannot see this. If Lana wins this, I've lost all respect for WWE. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. This should just be a tied over for Naomi. Or Naomi wins and Money in the Bank champion cashes in immediately. Now that we have two of them, now one of them can do it tonight no matter what.
One of them's happening Sunday. I think one of the two briefcases is being cashed in.
Yeah.
It only makes sense.
Yeah. So if a heel wins it in the women's, it's probably going to happen. And if a face wins it... No, it wouldn't. I don't know why they would go up against Jinder Mahal. Jinder, you're right. It would have to be a heel. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I like Naomi. I'm glad that she's had the belt twice now.
Yep.
Her first reign was marred by injuries. With that being said, she's not been given an opportunity to really have a good program as champion.
Right.
And I'm fearful that if it remains on her, we're not going to get anything interesting, and it's kind of killing the women's division currently on SmackDown, in my opinion.
Well, it's a shame. It's not her fault. I mean...
No, it's not her fault. In the same way that it's not necessarily Jinder's fault, but it's different because Naomi actually has the talent. She's just not given anything to
work
with.
Right, she's got talent, because Naomi's awesome.
But, with that being said, imagine the possibilities of Lana as champion. I think that is far more compelling.
Well, I know Mr. Cleo thinks that we may see her with a little bit of Mashka later on, too. So, it's a possibility of that happening.
I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say Lana wins it.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but I'm going to say let's let Naomi keep it for a little bit longer.
Although I will say this. I think the women are more likely to cash in Money in the Bank, and we all know who I'm predicting for the women anyways. I've been predicting it for a while now. She's the perfect opportunistic person to cash in on Naomi. So, if I fully believe that the briefcase is going to get cashed in, I don't know. I still say Lana's interesting. No, Naomi retains. I've just talked myself out of
it. Yeah, because if he's going to get cashed in, Naomi retains.
All right. Tag team match. Usos, Day One is H versus New Day is H.
I think this is going to be a good match, I think. Both teams have been just killing it. Really fresh stuff. Like New Day, I thought they'd be stale as hell still, but they've been really fresh on SmackDown. But I do believe the Usos' Day will still be more H than the New Day's.
I can see it being more H. There's no real rush to take the belts off the Usos. There's only one team right now that could be more interesting than the Usos as champs, and they just blew their opportunity last month. I don't think the Usos are losing those belts for a bit.
No.
It really doesn't make much sense.
Nope. They've been doing great. They've been doing awesome. Like, their promos have been on fire. You know, they've been fighting champions. Let them have it for a little bit. Let them run it.
Plus, I mean, they have more high-level opponents to work with. They can work with Breezango, New Day, and American Alpha. Whereas, if a face champ, they've never built up the heel side of the SmackDown roster. So, and the Hype Bros, if they get their return match that they were supposed to get. I just don't see... I could see this... I'll go on a limb. Xavier Woods turns heel.
Oh, man.
I've been saying that they need to break New Day up for a while.
If they break New Day up, there's no way they're going to break New Day up this early. It just doesn't feel right yet. But, man, that'd be great. I mean, in SmackDown run.
Why not, man? Now's a good time as ever.
I guess.
So that's my prediction. Xavier turns. Wow. Page over.
What? One of the championships have to change hands, don't they? Doesn't it seem like one championship at least changes hand every month?
Usually, yeah. So, I mean, as is, I'm predicting the women's to change hands.
I think the women's is going to change hands due to Money in the Bank. You're right.
So,
We're both in agreement on the Usos winning, not agreeing on Xavier Woods turning Paige, but...
I agree women's. Turning Paige over. I don't know about turning heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just want to look at the back of their heads.
Absolutely.
Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Carmella, Becky, Natalya, Charlotte, and Tamina.
Honestly, if you're going to go cash it in that same night, Carmella is the only option for this because it's perfect opportunity for her. Nobody else makes sense.
Tamina would be kind of interesting if she cashed in.
True, but I don't see her being one of those people that would turn it in immediately.
She's not the opportunistic heel that Carmella is.
Carmella is correct. And if they're going to turn it in tonight, then it's got to be Carmella.
I mean, as you know, I've been predicting Carmella for a while to have a breakout. So I'm not going to change course all of a sudden. She's also the odds-on favorite to win it. Tamina's dead last.
So she's going to win it.
It's Carmella, then Becky, then Natalya, then Charlotte. Charlotte's ranked fourth on favorites.
Charlotte doesn't need the Money in the Bank.
Exactly.
So.
So she's definitely winning.
Yeah, yep. She's got it.
Woo! It'd be historic. Come on, she has to win every historic match ever. That's true. That's what
that
scares
is true.
Me.
That's a good point. She has won almost every historic match, period.
That's the scary thing. That's what really concerns me. And of any match that you could see getting changed at the last minute, couldn't you see them all of a sudden be like, you know what, we trust Charlotte the most. Let's just put it on her.
Yeah, yeah.
That scares me.
It does.
I'm hoping Carmella, though. Carmella and Ellsworth are so good right now.
Yes, yes.
All right. Time for the hardest match, in my opinion, to call.
Yes.
The men. I mean, we all know who I initially wanted, but we all know that I've changed my mind on it. Mm. And they're the two favorites. Baron Corbin's the only one that is truly favored. Sammy's in at second, though. Where do you see this going?
It would be great if Sammy won this. Sammy needs a win like this. I look at everybody else in that group, and honestly, if any of them win, I don't care. I'm fine with it. I'll tell you right now, any one of those guys wins it, I'm perfectly fine with them winning it. But Sammy would benefit the most from winning this, and I think Sammy would be a great choice.
I look at it this way. I can't picture AJ Styles or Shinsuke walking around with the briefcase. I just can't see it.
Right.
I also can't really see Kevin Owens, only for the fact that he's got a belt. It would work. He's opportunistic, but he already has a prop.
Yeah.
No sense of giving him a second
prop,
one.
Right.
So I'm going to eliminate those three guys, which leaves me with Baron, Sammy, and Dolph. If WWE wanted to push Dolph, they would have done it by now.
True.
I mean, I'm all for Dolph winning it. Right. I think Dolph deserves another title run, but I don't know. I think Baron wins it, but I'm pulling for Sammy, so I'm going to say Sammy despite my better judgment.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I want Sammy. Yeah, I'm going with my want. I want Sammy to win this. It would benefit to him the most, so give it to Sammy.
Right, and it's not like this is one of those cool matches where it's like, alright, if Baron wins, like, I'm not going to be fucking excited because he's been my boy for a long time.
Exactly.
Like, of course I'm going to be stoked, but I'll just be a little happier if Sammy wins because Sammy has a tougher climb to get to the top than Baron does at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, every single one of those guys in this match, except for really Dolph and Sammy, don't need it. You can look at every single one of those other guys, other than Dolph and Sammy.
And Dolph's gotten himself into world title matches this past year, quite a few of them. So Sammy needs it more than anybody by far.
Yes.
But you know what? It would be cool as shit. If Dolph were to win it, would Dolph get another huge pop if he cashed in at a unique opportunity? Do you think the fans would care again?
They might, but I don't know. It's tough.
I don't know if Dolph cashed in on Jinder, that could be fascinating.
That's an automatic face turn, though.
It is. It'd be interesting as fuck, though.
Yeah.
WWE is not interested as fuck, though.
Nope, so don't expect that to happen. So Dolph's not winning.
Nah. All right. So we're basically on the same page as each other.
We always seem to be on the same page, just like Xavier and Brad. We're the Xavier and Brad of this group.
You know, someday I have to go out in the backyard and actually dig the hole for the dead horse, but for right now it's still really fun beating the shit out of it.
Beating the crap out of this dead horse is amazing.
Well, I know we didn't discuss this beforehand. We have two segments left, and I know you didn't... I think it's my turn for the last segment.
It's your turn for the last segment, yes.
So how about you ask the question and you answer the Braun Strowman question?
All right, what... So, you're talking about the Braun Strowman. I'm not finished with you yet segment. It's what we're looking forward to most in the upcoming week. And I'll be honest with you, Kent. I'm honestly looking forward most to Money in the Bank. I really, really want to see... minimally, I want to see just the men's ladder match. Ladder Money in the Bank match. But I'm interested in the women's just to see it. I... definitely have interest in seeing how Lana reacts as a wrestler, and the Usos and New Day doesn't bore me. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the pay per view.
I'm with you. I read someplace that WWE is back to having Money in the Bank as its number 5 pay per view of the year. In my opinion, aside from the Royal Rumble, there's not a pay per view I enjoy more than Money in the Bank.
It's true.
Like, to me, it's exciting, and it's less predictable than Royal Rumble.
Right.
And that's what I like. So, also, though, I admit, I'm just excited to hopefully see Rusev this coming week.
It's a possibility, that's right. So.
So, all right. I think, are we good for to go?
Yes, here? So let's go over. All right, so we're going to do our last segment of the evening, which is our most fun segment, I think, honestly. It's Guess the Wrestler. So what we do here is one of us chooses a wrestler, and the other one has to guess. Or the other ones, usually, if we have two people here. Now, normally, we do me, Kerry, then Kent. But since Kerry's not here, Kent's going to take back over. And I'm going to ask 9 questions of Kent, and then I'm going to answer. I get 2 answers, and I probably won't get either, but we'll see. So, Kent, are you ready, sir?
Yes, as I just changed my mind on who I want it to be. So,
all right.
I'm locked in. The 2 questions are male or female, and then current or retired, correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, I will tell you that he is a male.
Okay.
And he is retired, as far as I can tell.
Okay, retired as far as you can tell. Okay.
No, he's got to be retired. I don't think there's any ifs about it.
Okay.
I mean, he could do like an indie
appearance,
but
that's still technically retired, because you're not going to hear about that shit.
Right, so retired.
Okay, so what company was he most known for?
WWE and WCW.
Oh, okay, so really mixing both? Okay.
Yeah, I can't say he's more known for one than the other.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest.
How do we ask the championship question? We have to just ask a specific championship question?
I mean, if you want to just ask if he's ever held a championship, sure, waste your question.
Right,
but...
okay. So has he ever been a world title holder on any company?
Any company or any of the main companies?
Any of the main companies.
Okay. So, looking through this, I can tell you that he was never world heavyweight champion.
Okay. All right. So now let's get his era. So, what era was he most known for?
See, this question always bothers me, Russ, because if I'm telling you he was a star in WWE and WCW, there's only like a 10-year window.
I know. It's Attitude Era at that point, so.
Yeah. So there's your third answer. All
right. I thought so, but I wanted to make 100% positive. Ooh, okay. Never been to... All right, let's try to narrow this down to who it could be. Any... major catchphrases or, you know, things that we would recognize if we heard them. Like, it would give them away immediately.
Yes.
Okay, so he's pretty popular then.
That doesn't equate to popular. That just means well-known.
True.
I mean, really, was Gene Snitsky all that popular? But if I say it wasn't my fault, you know who the fuck I'm talking about.
It's true, but that's getting far away now. Known feuds. Big ones? What I would...
I can say... Biggest feuds. There's a lot of them. I can say he had a really good feud with Shawn Michaels at one point.
Okay.
I mean, granted, pretty much everybody in that era did at some point.
That doesn't really help.
Off top of my head, though, like I'm stuck with that. That's the big one in my mind.
All right. I still have no idea who we're talking about here.
But on the plus side, you still have four questions and two guesses.
Yeah. All right. Four questions. So I'm trying to think of, like, types of questions. Has he held either the IC, like the middling championships, the IC, the US, or... European.
Yes. Yes, he has.
Yes. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say he's held quite a few titles. It just was never...
Never the world.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, it's dispersed, but, you know.
Was he ever in a stable?
Yeah.
Well, not shoot.
Once again, who wasn't in the Attitude
Era? I know. I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, shoot. That doesn't really narrow it down too much. Was he leader? No. Nope. Never mind. Because the leader of all the Attitude Era have held the WWE title almost. So I'm pretty sure that's not going to answer that question.
Yeah, except for, like, Stevie Richards.
Yeah.
Or the LWO.
Right. Those aren't really major, though. I'm thinking, like, Nation of Domination and DX. So all those leaders have held the WWE Championship, so... all right. Known mostly for singles or tag team?
Ooh. That is a... Tough one. I will say, thinking about the person, I would say singles.
Singles, okay. One more question. I'm trying to think how I want to word it. All right. How about... did he have any segments of his own, you know, like barbershop, things like that?
Yeah, like, you know, like the Jericho or, yeah, that sort of thing,
yes,
cutting
those,
edge.
Yep, all those, you know, his segment.
Not to my recollection, no. I don't think so. Although he was incredibly gifted on the mic, I will say that. I can't think of a specific, like, themed talk show thing that he had.
Okay. I still don't know who this is. I mean, I had a guess, but if you're saying now he's talented on the mic, I'm not 100% sure about that. And then he said he had a good feud with... A good feud with
Sean.
Sean? Ah, man.
I mean, he had good feuds with other people. I'm really struggling to think of something, though, that'd be memorable that would help you out. And Sean is by far the biggest one.
See, now, my thought was... D'Lo Brown at first. And I'm going to make him my first guess, but I'm pretty sure it's not right, but I'll go with D'Lo Brown.
You are incorrect.
All right, that's what I thought.
Although D'Lo was pretty decent on the mic.
He was okay. That's why I was, he's okay on the mic, though. He was never...
This guy's world's better on the mic, though. And in ring, for that matter.
Oh, well, there goes my second guess. I was going to say Bob Holly, but once you said world's better, he's out the door.
Well, that killed that dream.
Yeah, that was out. Oh, man. Okay, so... good on the mic? Jeez, I'm not...
I will say this. You asked me which federation he was in, and he was in both. And had you simply said, hey, Kent, during the Attitude in particular, which federation was he mainly known for, I would have said WCW.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why. And that's why I don't know who this is. That's why I'm not 100% positive of who it is. Because I can't wrap my brain around it. So, mostly known for WCW and the Attitude Era. So, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to look up WCW Attitude Era people, and I'm going to see who I think makes sense for this one.
That will pretty much give it to you.
It will.
If you cheat.
If I cheat? All right. Well, yeah. I'll tell you right now, I don't have a clue, and I'm not very good at... WCW. So I'm just going to kind of look and see.
Because, I mean, realistically, Russ, without even looking,
yeah.
If I ask you this question, without even looking,
okay.
Name the biggest name in WCW during the Attitude Era that didn't win a world championship. If you get that answer, you don't have to look anything up.
See, I don't know who it is because I want to say biggest names without winning the WCW.
Who didn't have a belt? Like, everybody had a belt back then except for this one dude, basically.
Well, see, I don't know who it is. I honestly don't know. I can't think of anybody. Because I want to keep on... my mind keeps on going to DDP. But he was barely in WWE.
Oh, yeah. And DDP held the belt.
And he held the belt, right. So I know it's not him. Come on. I can't even cheat. There's no lists. Like, they don't have a list of WCW rosters.
WCW, we hardly knew you.
Yeah, no, there's no WWC. Oh my god.
And the thing is, I know, I mean, like, this is a well-known guy. It's
I know,
like,
I know, and it probably once you say his name, I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. Because the only ones I'm thinking are, here's what I'm thinking, Sid Vicious. He's held the belt. I'm thinking, I already told you D'Lo, and I was obviously wrong. I just need to see a list of names and go, that guy makes sense. You know what I mean? And I can't do it. So, I to save time, I fold. I don't know who it is.
All right. Here, I'll give you three letters.
Okay.
N-W-O.
Okay.
Unless you think that this guy actually held a world championship, that's my concern.
Scott Hall. Oh. Yeah, I thought he held.
Yeah.
I thought he held the WCW at some point.
Nope. And he had the, hey, yo.
Yeah, and
he had survey Michaels, says
huge feud between them. You're right.
Like, who else would you have named for huge feud? Like, that was his biggest one,
yeah.
By far.
No, you're right. Once you said NWO, it knocked it to me. It's like Scott Hall, because I was thinking Scott Hall at one point, but I was like, didn't he held the belt at some point?
It was fucked up that he never did.
Yeah,
really
wow.
Fucked up.
All right.
And I was like, if he'd asked me if he was a Hall of Famer, I still don't think that would have helped you.
No, because.
But,
it would have told me it was a big name.
Every big name in WCW held the belt. If you go with Hogan,
yep.
Nash,
yep.
Booker T, Steiner,
well, that's
Sting,
why I was trying to go
Flair.
With bigger names, because like the bigger names, they've all held it at least once.
Everybody except for
except
him
for
and
oh, wow.
Raven. Raven's like the second, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm shocked. I thought Scott Hall actually held it. That's why I didn't think Scott Hall. So.
Pretty fucked up, man.
It is.
But, All right. I think Kerry probably gets like two or three straight weeks because I feel like you and I have been trading.
Oh, we have been. I think Kerry's got at least two or three weeks ahead of her, which is going to be doing it. Unfortunately, it will not be next week. Again, Kent and I will be by ourselves. Unless
that's not technically true.
Oh, really?
Carrie and I have been working on potentially getting together next Wednesday. The problem is we can't do it at Jay's because it's Jay's birthday.
Oh, darn. I was going to say we could do it at Jay's. That's some professional shit right there.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable asking him on his birthday.
I understand.
But, yeah, we hopefully will have Carrie back. You know, we send our condolences to Carrie for everything that's happening at the moment.
Yep.
And it'll be good to have her back, because we have a lot of tangents.
We do. We broke off a lot. But, hey, we're still in a golden time amount, so we're okay. So
golden shower.
It's like a golden shower. So I think we should definitely cut out right now. We hope you enjoyed listening to Are You Not Entertained? Kent, is there anything real quick that you need to talk about coming up?
Yeah. Tomorrow on 9deuce.com, the Babadook blog will be out. If anybody missed it, there was an Orange is the New Black retrospective that dropped last week. We're working on two blogs for right around the end of the month with Jaws and Orange is the New Black Season 5. If you haven't watched Orange is the New Black Season 5, maybe you were put off by Season 4. Trust me, Season 5 goes back to, like, Season 2 era, like, with some humor and shit.
Oh, good.
So, I recommend it. I kind of was put off by Season 4.
Season 3.5 is where I kind of was like... So, I'll try to get back into it.
I think you'll find... I mean, there's still some PC stuff, I guess. Heavy-handed stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more humor involved. They brought humor back,
good,
thankfully.
Good. All right, I'll give it a try.
That's all I got. All right, oh, we got Money in the Bank previews.
Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming up. So we got our preview and our review. I will be helping Kent on both. And that's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you were entertained. And we will see you all next week.
Bye, everybody. Night, y'all. Oh, if anybody is on Steam and wants to play Friday the 13th, find... I think my name's Wallblob. W-A-L-L-B-L-O-B.
It is.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it is. You like the game?
I do. I suck at it terribly, but yeah, it's fun.
All right, cool. I kind of want to play it, but I'm not paying the price tag right now, so...